it's time for the Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. It's Tuesday, November 6th, 2018. It's Election Day, in case I haven't said it enough this morning. So be sure to get out there and vote. We're going to be talking a little bit about what it's like to vote when you're not on U.S. soil. People still do get to vote. We'll talk a little bit, especially about the military, people who are on active duty on vessels. What do they do on Election Day? We'll talk about that in just a minute. We have about 11 ships on today's Columbia River ship schedule. In our marine weather forecast, we have on the Columbia River bar at the very mouth of the river seas about 11 feet. They're going to subside a bit to about 9 feet later this afternoon. And during those maximum ebb current times, which happen about every 12 hours, we had one about 3:15 this morning, one about 4:15, and then again, around 5 a.m. tomorrow. Seas will be about 10 to 15 feet with breaking waves there. So that becomes problematic. It gets to be this time of year in the fall and winter when the sea heights get up there. And when they start getting above 15 feet, they're getting close to 20 feet. And 20 feet is sort of a cutoff point, so to speak. When waves start getting that big, it starts to become possible that it's too dangerous to bring ships in. And, well, why is that? Because it's one thing to have a ship bouncing around out at sea in open water where there's nothing for it to hit. The ocean is really deep offshore. Ships are very well made, most of them, and they can bounce around in the sea and maybe sustain some slight structural damage, but they're not going to have any life-threatening things happen usually. But when you get into an enclosed area like a river where there's a defined bottom that's much, much shallower, the depth is much shallower than out in the ocean. Even though on the bar it's 55-foot depth out there, if you start saying a ship comes in, say, with 30-foot draft, it's got 20-foot waves, at the bottom of those wave crests, it's conceivable that a ship that deep could actually bottom out in rough weather on the bar. You do not want that happening. So the safety issue alone from that, there's also the issue of controlling a vessel in the very, very sort of difficult conditions, you know, waves coming from all directions, sneaker waves, big waves. So when the weather gets bad at the mouth of the river, especially, things can get very quirky and difficult. And so we're getting into that time of year where this is the first day that I've seen seas predicted to be 15 feet so far this season. So we'll see how it goes. But you start seeing the status of the bar changing at that time when things start getting dicey, where it'll go from green, which is where it usually is, green status determined by the Coast Guard and the Columbia River bar pilots, to yellow status, where some ships are asked to wait depending on how well they think they can handle those conditions, to red status, where ships don't come in at all. So it's very interesting to keep an eye on that. You can go to ColumbiaRiverBarPilots.com and look on their website. There's always a little color field, a little window there on the left that tells you what status the bar is on at any given moment. Overall, in the marine weather forecast, north winds 10 to 15 knots, wind waves from the northwest 2 feet at 4 seconds apart, northwest swells 12 feet high at 13 seconds apart, and scattered showers are in the forecast. Let's take a look at today's Columbia River ship schedule. We have three inbounders. The tug C-SPAN Rogue is arriving from Vancouver, British Columbia. She's headed for Astoria's Pier 2. She's probably undergoing customs inspections there. She may be coming in to pick up a barge. If there's a barge anchored over near Tongue Point, she's probably going to come in and pick that up and take it out to sea. She probably will arrive at the port of Astoria about 8:30 this morning. The ANSAC Green River, ANSAC, that's an acronym for American Natural Soda Ash Corporation. These are ships that have a dedicated cargo of soda ash used to make automotive glass, among other things. Arriving from South Korea, she's headed for the port of the Vancouver Anchorage, but she'll ultimately be headed for the port of Portland to pick up that soda ash. The Dense Lion is arriving from up in the BC area, British Columbia, headed for the Astoria Anchorage. She will get there at about 11:30 p.m. Maybe a wheat ship, a lot of them when I don't know what's on them. That's probably what they are these days in this harvest time of year. The Golden Shay is in the Astoria Anchorage awaiting orders, along with the Italia. The Golden Catherine and the SSI Formidable are both in the Rice Island Anchorage, which is a little bit upriver from Astoria, opposite Tongue Point. You can still see them from the Astoria Anchorage. In fact, when there are a lot of ships in the Astoria Anchorage and the Rice Island Anchorage, it just looks like a single line of ships lined up there, like a parking lot out there, which is really what it is. It is a ship parking lot. except the ships tend to kind of swing around a little bit, especially when the tidal change happens. So it's a ship parking lot is quite different from an land parking lot. In our outbounders, we have the IVS Orchard heading out of Kalama. I think her inbound cargo could have been steel on board, big heavy coils of steel. She'll leave there about noontime. If she doesn't have any other cargo on there outbound, she'll have ballast water to keep her hunkered down in the water and safe in the rough weather that she might encounter out at sea. So she could pass Astoria outbound around 5 p.m. The Delfinus Leader is heading out of Vancouver. Subaru's on board. She's a car carrier leaving around 3. That would put her past Astoria around 8 p.m. The TBC Prestige is leaving Longview Petcoke on board there, Petroleum Coke. She's leaving around maybe 3:30, so maybe around 7 p.m. you might see her outbound. And the Maple Fortune is leaving Vancouver. Not quite sure what's on board there. Could be lumber or steel. That might have been her inbound cargo. Most of our ships that come in here are coming in here to pick up cargoes for export. But there are some ships that do come in carrying cargo, as we see, the car carriers. We don't have container ships coming in here too much. I think that there are a few here and there, but I haven't seen one yet in a while. But apparently there is some container service to the Port of Portland. We have other ships coming in with mineral cargoes occasionally, but mostly the ships that are coming in here come in here light and leave loaded. So the ships that are out in the anchorage are sitting very high in the water. I've talked about that many times before. You can see their red bottom paint because they don't have cargo yet. They're waiting to pick up cargo. And the ships that are outbound, you'll see them hunkered way down in the water. So a little bit about elections at sea. I was thinking about, well, you know, what do people do who are just not able to go to the polls? In most states, and here we can mail our ballots in, here in Oregon and Washington. But if you're somewhere where you have to go to the polls, what do you do if you're, say, an active duty military or you're in the Merchant Marine? Well, apparently you can vote by absentee ballot. So there are provisions made. There are early voting deadlines earlier than Election Day for people who are on ships. They can get special ballots. Sometimes they'll have a voting time on board ship. And so the military does all it can to get those ballots in so that sailors and other people who are at sea do have an opportunity to have their votes counted. Historically, that always hasn't always been the case. Going back as far as the Civil War, from what I was able to read, there's been sort of a political football tossed around about letting soldiers vote at sea. They've kind of ironed that out with laws in recent years since World War II. But apparently if they thought sailors, if the whatever party was in control, thought the sailors were going to vote a certain way, they would either push for to allow them to vote or not to have them vote. But luckily right now, everyone who is at sea in the military has the opportunity to vote. And that's a good thing. And if you are on land or sea, I hope that you exercise your right to vote today. You've been listening to The Ship Report, the show about all things maritime. I'm Joanne Rideout. Thanks for listening, and have a great day on this election day.